My name is Julia Scher, and I'm an artist.
What kind of artist?
I work in the multiple forms of photography, video, film, still frame computer grabs, computer texts, audio, CDs, mixdown, child supervision, sculpture, and interactive multimedia installations.
Thank you very much. You were in the panel of Techno, Lust, and Morals. Why were you in that one, in that particular one?
I imagine because of the extensive work I've done on the web, that is, using media materials to express sadomasochistic messages, including SM desires and lust, over the Internet, using transmission systems as a vehicle to help get involved with my own feelings and desires.
Can you translate that? Does that mean that you were trying to play SM games on the net?
Yes, I work with some websites in which the covert or underneath subject matter is the push and pull between participants, that is, individuals who act as followers or submissives, having conversations with and sharing emotions with people who are playing out as tops or dominance, or people seeking to take control. I'm interested not only in those power games, but the kind of invisible ways in which we enter into power relationships that we really have no control over. I'm interested in questions around power and control, about the unintended consequences of someone leading and somebody following, of the dictates of power. I'm interested in the coercive aspects of surveillance, or the provocation of surveillance, of guarding, of security systems. I'm interested in highlighting the aspects of social control in the limited way that I have been able to do so over the web and over the net and in email. I try to mimic some of the ideological concerns of my sculptural projects on the net this way.
So as a real good artist, there is no real distinction to be made between your personal desires and your work?
Well, unfortunately for me, that's the case. I'm sad to say it is an expression of my sense of loss, of despair, of my insecurity in the real world, but also my knack for being hooked on aestheticizing some of the consumer products that have emerged as a result of people having their own crises of intimacy in the real world. I think the crisis of intimacy between people, between individuals, lovers, families, social groups, and communities, is one of the largest crises now facing Americans. In Europe, I'm sure it's a different crisis.
But you have investigated this through going into a certain, by interacting personally into sexual games on the net, right? That's one of the things you have done.
Yes, that's one of the things I've done, one of the practices I've been developing. I have several different personas, too, in which I pursue these online activities. Mm-hmm. One of them is a person named Bill. Another one is Julia, for Security by Julia. And then there's Insecurity by Julia. There's Safe and Secure Productions. And further, in the past, we had one of the first cyber rapes on The Thing back in 1992, where inside Madame J's dungeon, a cyber rape occurred. I don't know if this was the first one. You should ask Julian DeBell in New York. I think he knows the date of the first known and publicized cyber rape. Cyber rape, that being an online event in which a, quote, character or individual shakes up or disturbs another online persona by saying nasty, icky things that feel extremely intrusive and rape-like. So there's no actual physical rape, but a psychological one using words. Uh-huh. This happened, and then we closed, the group of us closed the dungeon because some members weren't so keen on that kind of action.
But how long have you been doing this?
I started in 1991 going online, and it's been a growing preoccupation.
But could you say that have you come to certain conclusions yet?
I am more full of darkness and doom than ever before. At the same time, I continue to propose more utopian-type projects, for example, security and safety gear for children. So I'm...
Online,
yeah. So I embody both extremes. I continue to embody collusion between powers that take our freedoms away and those forces which would help us escape from powers of coercion and economic doom.
But that you are working on making these protection devices, that's what they kind of are, security and insecurity devices for children, does that mean that you... that you have seen a potential danger somewhere for these children?
Well, I'm very interested in issues around child protection and child abuse, especially sexual abuse. And currently, well, no, it just closed a show in Switzerland. There was a surveillance bed for children in which children were shown how to tie up people that would come and might hurt them, a little cage under the bed that they could hide in case a bad person was coming in the house, and a button they could press so that they could call a community network online. That button pressing would not activate a police station, but would activate a local network that would be connected with the children's home. So in general, I'm interested in creating an atmosphere in which children, those people who are the least likely to have any data deviancy, any data damage, any high-tech embedded in them, like virgins, techno-virgins, people who are naive and should not be suspect and should not be under the gun of electronic control, are actually using some of the availability of those devices to ensure their own safety or try and take control of their own safety. However, I realize that children, in reality, cannot do that. That's a utopian prospect that they could actually protect themselves. So I understand that the reality of that is not the same as my envisioning a safe haven for children, that those two are distinct and separate.
Could you give some concrete examples of dangerous or very sensitive spots in, let's say, social encounters on the net, on the web, that are specific for there, do not occur anywhere else?
In terms of children being used in a molesting way?
Well, not just for children, also for grown-ups.
My feeling is that, in my experience, right-wing or, quote, moralistic individuals who will have nothing to do with the display of sexual activity or longing on the web will not go into those areas. However, unsuspecting individuals may, by chance, enter into one. For example, there's a very interesting site called the Santa Barbara Paddle Company. I think it's a cool site. You go into it, it looks like a place where frat boys, that is fraternity boys in America, would go to buy equipment for their fraternity. Well, after you see a few couple of layers, you see that they are selling paddles. You go a further level deeper, you see that they are selling paddles for stripping people and beating them, and you go a couple more layers into the site, and lo and behold, it's a whole porno ring of young boys being taken advantage of, abused, and disciplined by the likes of priests and teachers and other individuals. And it turns out to be a man's site, a site for men looking at young boys. So these kinds of sites sometimes are happened upon by unwary individuals who might accidentally come upon the site, see that they are benign-looking, venturing further, might find themselves in territory that they don't wish to explore. Sex sites or moos, for example, are very popular for people interested and looking at sexual material. The moos and news groups in the United States are very popular. You can have alt.sexanything. There's everything from, do you know these news groups?
Yeah.
Okay. From anything from horses and small children to, you name it, it's there. What's recently illegal in the United States is the depiction of sex acts, not in the moos or news groups, which are somehow restricted in some countries in Europe, by their servers knocking them off for their written pornographic material. In the United States recently, if you collage together body parts from different people, small children and boys, and have them having sex with each other, even though these are not real individuals or depictions of whole selves, it is now illegal, currently, I would say currently, illegal to show that. That would be pornography, even though it's not a real person.
What do you think of that?
Well, my own personal feeling is that that is silly. And that hopefully the engagement of our psychic, social, and sexual selves will be more integrated with the prostheses of computers and networks, even in spite of the fact that these systems are fallible, and along the way of finding new, bigger, open spaces in which we can encourage our own libidos and desires and work out things and have fun and have entertainment and read cool things, along the way we'll be encountering many who are resistant to opening up these new types of spaces for the perceived threats that they create. For example, there were many individuals carrying out sexual, selling kids' images for sale over the web in the U.S. This is, of course, now found to be illegal. Underage depiction of sex, one thing illegal. The second thing is the sale of that material to those people underage, which varies from state to state. I don't know here. I think the smoking age here is 16. In the United States, it's higher. So you have a twofold stage. You have, or threefold stage of illegality right now in the United States. The illegality of using underage children for sex, certain sexual depictions, even overage, which are illegal in some states, for example, sodomy. And then you have the distribution of pornography across state lines, which is a felony. And then you have the viewing of that material by underage individuals, which you're not allowed to show this to minors. So the multiplicity of infractions of current law are wide. However, laws cannot keep up with community values, community definitions of decency or deviancy, or statutes about pornography in general, as the state or the federal government deems to dictate those things at a particular moment. For example, if you see Karen Finley's new book, it looks like a very soft, totally... very soft and unthreatening compared to her earlier work. She's certainly been through the mill. But she was on the front battle lines of censorship only a few short years ago. If anyone remembers the NEA 4, she was one of them. Pornography...
You're saying that very extreme people are softening their...
It's just this new book reminds me of Martha Stewart, who I get a big kick out of. Oh, do you know Martha Stewart? The paradigm in America to counter the thrust toward pornography, and I'm not saying there is a large one, and let me qualify my statement about SM earlier. Certainly the community for SM worldwide is very small. It doesn't seem to be growing by leaps and bounds just because the material is available in an electronic soup. Certainly not. I wouldn't say that at all. I would say it just helps the current community, that the scale of the community, like the scale of homosexuals worldwide, the percentage in numbers, I don't think it's... My feeling is that it's not like a growing industry. It is proliferating, but in terms of numbers, I'm not so sure you could say that availability is turning deviance, if deviancy could be a word. It's certainly not a word I use. I don't think of deviancy, really, or... I don't think there are any perversions.
You don't think there are any perversions?
No, I think there might be acts that take away... I think there is evil. Evil person being one who has no empathy for the consciousness of another human being. I think that's evil. I wouldn't necessarily call that a perversion. If you hurt someone and disregard their feelings and act with them in a way which is not consensual, I wouldn't call that just perverted. I would call it evil.
But we got onto this because you were trying to name examples of potential dangers for the specific kind of social interaction that happens in the net and the web.
Ah, right.
Right? And you were talking about child pornography, huh? The dungeon for the little boys. Do you know any other examples, or can you give more examples for just the way people communicate in email or in chats? Or are there any specific dangers, or maybe not even dangers, but, you know, sensitive parts.
Okay, I'll go to the part about two sites I can think of, right, three that don't exist anymore, three websites that were up and down, the Katie Beers website, which is a total exploitation of that poor little girl trapped in that guy's basement, all tied up, which has disappeared. Candyman, which was about concocting kind of evil things, I think including the concoction of drugs. A site which told you how to put together bombs. I'm not sure if that was Candyman also, creating bombs. Recipes.
But those are all websites. Those,
yeah.
That's not...
Which have disappeared.
Of course, that's material that's published, that's illegal, that's also illegal in print. But is there anything specific about the medium, the computer medium, the net, the web? Well, maybe I should not say the web, but the net, you know, email, chats, the way people communicate there in text, or in see you and see me's, that is different from other media, but, you know, should be discussed.
Well, there are a couple of things. In hypermedia, you recapture memories from a past action or a past thought that you had and recombine it to help you go through the articulation of images and text on the web. So there's one site which is two nude women on a beach. They're blonde, their crotches are open, and their beavers are showing. And you can take your mouse, and if your pointer on your mouse rubs across them, you certainly don't feel their crotch, but you have a memory, perhaps, of a feeling of it, or a sensation that may have been provoked in you doing that in real. So if you can imagine rubbing your mouse back and forth on your mouse pad and watching the cursor slide up back and forth across these women's crotches, you're recovering in a way, you're remembering chunks, details, fragments from a moment past.
Yeah, but you also have that when you rub your finger over a magazine, over a...
Right.
Centerfold, right?
Right. The network's in the same way. The amount of distance traveled might be a little bit farther, but you certainly are, in that instance, bringing your own physicality to the computer and into the interface. I don't think there's anything particular to the computers right now that make it more juicy or hot to go online, other than one doesn't need to be intimate. One can be a hermit, alone, solitary in one's apartment. However, newer interfaces will make it possible for, like, women to see smells, or women to smell sounds. This will all be possible. The problem of the interface, that it is so bulky that you're sticking this penis-like microphone in my mouth right now, is cool and exciting, but it's a bulky thing that probably won't need to be used very much longer. Perhaps this will disappear, and as the interface shrinks, our proximity to our target area will shrink. And this will change and highlight newer ways of acting on our body juices. I don't find it any more stimulating or exciting to have an orgasm over the net than I do in live, in a real playroom, or in a real relationship. However, the kind of activity that it is can proliferate and happen at a rate which I can control, very much like reading a magazine. I see great dangers in this, but I also see its expansive possibilities.
It's still not going into the more text-like communication that I was more thinking of.
Okay, like alt-sex amputee. There is a site, there's a chat room where the discussion centers around having intercourse with people with amputated legs, double amputees, triple amputees, and women and men who have no limbs, but they have a trunk, their torsos still containing their sexual organs, sometimes in a mangled form or a mutated form, if you would have that word. By mutated, I mean someone took great pains to alter their genitalia's appearance. Now, these sites are very hot to some people. You can imagine, well, maybe you can't. Well, I certainly couldn't imagine why. I have no idea why. So the performance of the sexual act, moving the one existing leg, for example, feeling the end of the stump while inserting your penis into the mouth or other orifice of the individual, stroking a penis while limbs are flapping, holding them down, maybe tying up all the stumps and then having intercourse, or having the amputee, the reduced or changed, altered individual riding up atop you and squirming around on you and then entering you. This is the type of chat that would go on in alt-sex amputee, for example. Some find
that's a news group. That's not really a chat room.
Right. There. But you can go into chat on this. There are some servers in which you can go immediately into chat after reading a couple of the last postings. You can enter chat. For example, you read a story or two about amputees. You could, on some bulletin boards, press CH or O and enter a chat room, maybe number one or two if there are not many people in chat. And you will enter a blank hole if you've never been into a chat room before. It will seem like a big blank void. And then all of a sudden, you'll be staring at your blank computer, and a voice will say in text, "Hi there, who are you?" Maybe you're too scared to type in anything. It will say, "Are you an amputee? What part are you missing?" And you might answer back, "I was just here to watch." And another voice might come in and say, "I have no scrotum and left arm and I'm paralyzed. My name's Jim. What's your name?" And you might reply and engage in a conversation. And Jim might tell you what turns him on. You might reply back that you came in because you were curious. Meantime, maybe you're getting hot or not. A third voice might disappear. Jim might go away. And Emily might come on saying, "I am a homebound woman with a diabetes and I've had my feet removed due to diabetes. Tell me your fantasy. I like to hear them." And then you might converse with them line by line, one line at a time, waiting, hoping for the next line to encourage you on further. If it gets too disruptive or scary, if it's your first time on, you might just click and go out or quit. You might leave the chat room. You might enter another one later. Sometimes if you go back to the same chat room, people will welcome you back. "Oh, hi there. This is Emily. Remember me? I'm the double amputee. I'm laying in bed right now. What are you doing?"
But you have a really juicy way of telling these things. We have to go back into the room, right. So we should maybe just round it off a little bit. But you play with this, you talk about it in a juicy way, as I said. Is this because you enjoy it, or is this because you like it as a kind of obscure art form?
Both. The point I didn't say or didn't choose to babble in my last rendition of the amputee chat is that someone could come in very violently and cut off the last remaining legs of Emily and say, "I'm cutting off both your legs. You're ugly and you don't deserve to live." Meanwhile, a small child, a 12-year-old boy, could be in on that chat room accidentally witnessing this, or portraying an older adult, him or herself. There's where it gets very extremely dangerous and hurtful. Because, you know, once an incident happens and you're a child, it imprints on you, and you may not have much memory of it later. It doesn't...
So these media get closer to you. That is probably the thing. You would never find such rough amputee sex so close to your home as with computers and a modem.
Correct. It is that change in distance. You might recuperate some of the distance, shorten the distance with the computer, seemingly reduce the distance, yet it is a fantasy space. You're not yet physically there, but that people might wish it or futuristically desire hurtful and not helpful spaces concerns me a lot.